If they're under the age of five, yeah, I love kids.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at Basketball Monster, and you can find me on Twitter, as always, at @RedRock_Bball. We're going to recap the 8 games from Wednesday. We're going to preview 6 games for Thursday for DFS, and we're going to shine the player spotlight on Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons. So,
let's get to it.
We will start with the monstrous line of the night. It's this bloke again, Anthony Davis, 28-13 with a triple, an assist, a steal and 5 blocks. And he was 9-14 from the field and a perfect 9-9 from the free throw line. He's in the middle of a back-to-back-to-back. This is the second game there. He's obviously played big minutes in both of those first two, 35 in each of them. And with another game coming up tomorrow against the Lakers, he should be seeing a 30-plus minutes again. And a lot of people were worried about this stretch of the season. Are they going to rest him? They need all the wins they can get, and Davis is going to keep playing. I could be wrong. I don't think he is going to be sitting out tomorrow. He's obviously been sensational this year, the number one player over the last 3 months. Still number 2 overall in the season with Harden slightly ahead of him, but he's been fantastic. I've given this award out to him so many times, you don't really need me to go over his statistics. Again, we all know that Anthony Davis has been ludicrous this season. The waiver wire line of the night goes once again to Kelly Olynyk of the Miami Heat. Olynyk had 22-5 with 10 assists. He had 2 triples and a steal and was 8 of 11 from the field and 4 of 5 from the free throw line. We've talked about how Hassan Whiteside's absence has really helped Olynyk. He's been excellent. He's the 11th ranked player over the last 2 weeks, which is astonishing, and a top 40 player over the last month. And a big part of what he's been able to improve this year has been his assist numbers, especially over the last month, where he is up to 4.5 assists per game, almost averaging a triple one and shooting 51-82. He shot 51% from the field last year, so that shouldn't be considered too much of a fluke. The free throw percentage is well up, though. He's at 77 on the year and 82 from the line over the last 12 games. And he's never been an 80% shooter for the last for 3 years. He was back in 13-14. Which was his rookie season, I believe, but he hasn't been one since then. He has been sensational. He is a must-own guy. Hassan Whiteside, they're saying it's not just hip soreness, it's a hip flexor strain. So I'd imagine that Whiteside misses a couple more games. The Heat don't actually need him. It doesn't, or maybe they do, but it doesn't feel like they do. They're playing very well with Bam Adebayo, Kelly Olynyk, and Jim Johnson playing those roles, and Olynyk is getting tons of minutes. This is the guy that I really liked in his time in Boston, and you would have heard me go on and on and on about how Brad Stevens would continue to play Amir Johnson over him, and the jerking around of Olynyk's minutes would piss me off. And I like Stevens as a coach, but I thought that was always a mistake. And Olynyk's really starting to show it now, and again, he needs to be owned in fantasy leagues, at least until Whiteside comes back, but you just own him and hold him and see what happens. The young gun of the night goes to the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray. He had 16-5-7. He had 3 triples, 2 steals and a block, so contributions right across the box score. 5 of 14 from the field, and he hit all 3 of his free throws. He has been the 61st ranked player this season in just under 31 minutes a game, averaging 16.5 with 3.5 rebounds and 3.3 assists. But that 3.3 assists, I guess, is a little bit misleading, because over the last 2 months, he's almost at 4.5, which is not ideal as a starting point guard. But we know that Nikola Jokic is facilitating so much for this team. He's upped his scoring recently, averaging 20 points over the last 7 games. And while the percentages haven't been ideal, he has taken his 3-point percentage from 34% last year up to 39% this season. And of course, coming into league with a reputation as a knockdown 3-point shooter, it's good to see that that did normalize in his second season. He was jerked around a little bit at the beginning of the season by Dr. Michael Malone. In fact, out of his first 5 games, he played 3 games of exactly 20 minutes, which is bananas, considering how well he played. After that, he really started to come on. He didn't play well in those games, sorry. How well he's played since, he shot absolutely shit-ass. But it's always one of those stories we remember when someone comes in, like Tim Hardaway, like Joshy Richardson, when they're shooting 10%, 15%, you know that it's going to change. and it has changed, and he has been obviously a very solid guy to own and should be knocking on the door of the top 50 for next season and seasons to come. The dud of the night. I tell a man's not hot. Serge Ibaka had 6, 4, and 2. He was 2 of 8 from the field and hit both of his free throws. Ibaka is barely clinging to value inside the top 100. He's the 97th ranked player, but over the last 2 months, he's outside the top 130. I don't think that he is a must-own player anymore. In 10-team leagues, I think you need to move on from Serge Ibaka. In 12-team leagues, it's borderline, but if you're battling for a couple of categories and one of them isn't blocks, not that he's averaging many blocks this year. Over the last 2 months, he's under one block per game, and that's where so much of Serge Ibaka's value came from. If he's not getting that, he's not doing anything for you. So I think in 12-teamers, you can probably move on, and definitely in 10-team and shallower leagues. I tweeted this earlier in the season. I thought Serge Ibaka was finished, and then he went on a pretty strong run through the start of December, where he had 15, 19, 21, 20, 17, 21, 18, 24, 12, 17. They were his points totals through those games. But since then, his minutes have declined. His play has not been up to snuff. And as I said, when you're a shot-blocking menace who is almost averaging 3 blocks per game and over these last stretch of games, you can't even get to 1 a game, that's a real problem. The athleticism's declined. His defense is terrible at the moment. He can't score. His shooting decisions are poor. And I don't think there's any point holding on to someone like this who has such limited upside at this point of the season. You just need to move on, and you need to get production into your fantasy squad. All right, let's look at these games now. Let's break down the action that went down on Wednesday here in the NBA. The first one of these games, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Philadelphia 76ers. There was no Tyreke Evans. He was resting, despite resting the game before. It is a back-to-back, so he's going to play Thursday, while Marc Gasol played in this one after his illness, and then he will sit on Thursday. But this was an absolute smashing. So the Grizzlies just spread their minutes right across the board. Very little to take out of it, apart from Deontay Davis, who had 16 and 11 in 21 minutes. Gasol only played the 25, but with him out on Thursday, Davis is going to get a chance to start. Now, Davis is not this player all the time. We know he can do it, but he is inconsistent, so he could be an interesting stream guy for Thursday. Jermichael Green had 14 and 7, while Jarrell Martin struggled on his way to 1 of 7 shooting with 8 points and 5 rebounds. And in a game without Tyreke, to see Andy Harrison play only 16 minutes, it's really, really hard to consider any of these Grizzly guys must-own players, with the exception of Marc Gasol, because stuff is going to change every game. There's going to be this sort of bullshit continually go down. It was a nice game from Wayne Seldon, who had 18 with 4 assists in his 22 minutes, but reliability is just not something that is there for this team at all. The Sixers were able to spread or rest their guys in this one. They didn't play the starters in the fourth quarter at all. Embiid didn't even get to 20 minutes. He had 14, 7, and 4. Simmons had 13, 7, and 9. And the only player to get to 30 minutes was Marco Bellinelli, who had 32. They had 4 blokes have 15 points. Redick, Bellinelli, Covington, and Šarić. Strong performances from the guys that you expect. I think that you look at Redick as a borderline 12-team league guy at this point, and really just a 3-point specialist. While Šarić, he's going through it now. This one doesn't really count, but he's going through a run of not being able to get to 30 minutes a night, and that's something for us to pay attention to, especially with the improved play of Justin Anderson cutting into Covington, Redick, Bellinelli, Ilyasova, and Šarić's playing time. That's where those minutes are coming from, so let's see how that persists over the rest of the season. The next game we look at, the Toronto Raptors and the Cleveland Cavaliers, a really, really good game to watch. DeMar DeRozan was back in action, 21, 3, and 5 for DeRozan, while Lowry had 24, 4, and 7. Still able to put up numbers against the Cavs' backcourt. Freddie VanVleet returned, and he was excellent, 16 points with 5 assists and 3 steals, while DeLon Wright kept it going, but only saw 21 minutes, and that's the warning sign there for DeLon. 12, 2, and 5 with 2 blocks is really good numbers, but if he's only going to play 20 minutes instead of 26 minutes or 27 minutes, and this was without CJ Miles also, it's hard to consider him a must-own 12-team league guy, which over the last couple, he was putting up numbers to suggest that. Jakob Poeltl played 11 minutes last game. He played 27 here and had 17 and 8 with a steal and a block, while Bebe Nogueira, who played 17 consecutive minutes on Tuesday, did not play at all. Valanciunas was also strong, 15 and 8. I think they should have played him more considering he didn't miss a single shot, but that wasn't the way they went. Poeltl is an excellent field goal percentage blocks type streaming option at this point in the year. The Jedi, OG Anunoby.
Hello there.
He's continuing to struggle, 5 points, continues to start, but the minutes just aren't there and there's very little fantasy value in him. On to the Cavs.
LeBron James.
35, 7, and 17 for LeBron and did not have a single turnover, which is ludicrous. Hit the game ceiling free throws. He went 12 of 14 from the line. Well, Kevin Love, 30 minutes. So he's back at his usual minute load now. 23 and 12 with 4 triples and a steal. Good to have him back. Well, Georgie Hill also went off 22 and 3 with 2 steals and a block. It took Hill 10 of 11 shooting to get there, so I don't think we should look at this as being some sort of sign that he's going to become this standard 12-team league guy, especially when you consider that Kyle Korver and Rocket Rodney Hood weren't in this game. Jordy Clarkson struggled. I don't think Jordan Clarkson is a good player. I've said that plenty of times, and he is not a 12-team league guy. Jeffrey Green had 15 and 2, but with Tristan Thompson's and Larry Nance's return potentially coming soon, it's going to be hard to consider Green a 12-team league guy, while Jose Calderon had 14 with 4 triples and 4 assists in a start. But again, Korver and Hood being out means that he probably goes back to being out of the rotation entirely when those guys return. The New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. Michael Beasley played 34 minutes with Lance Thomas out. 22 and 7 with 2 triples. If you need some points, Beasley might be able to help. But if Thomas plays, I can see Beasley playing just 22 or 23. And of course, he shot 67% in this one. An unrealistic expectation for him as we move forward. While Enes Kanter, whose minutes had been reduced significantly, he played 31. He had 23 and 13 with 2 steals. He'd still been putting up good numbers. Still getting those double-doubles, so he wasn't a drop guy. So all this is a real bonus sort of situation. Manny Moutier continues to be shit, while Trey Burke had an interesting scoring night, 16 and 7 with 4 triples, but I'd be looking at him as a streamer type guy, while the Knicks' just misuse of Frank Ntilikina continues to be astounding. 20 minutes for Frank with 3 points and 2 assists there, while the Cock Monster only played 15 minutes because getting 31 out of Enes Kanter was deemed what they needed at this stage. On to the Heat, Joshie Richardson, 12, 3, and 5 with 3 steals and a block, continues to be an excellent fantasy option. The Heat had this one in control really comfortably, so no one's minutes were really high. Tyler Johnson bounced back after a subpar game against the Nuggets, 22 points here, but yes, really high percentage shooting.
Giggity!
69, in fact. I don't think that he's really a 12-team league guy. Well, Jim Johnson let us down after a 31-point night against Denver, but still had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and a block while only tallying 3 points and only taking 2 shots. Bam Adebayo only played 13 minutes in this one. He, even with Whiteside out, he's not really a 12-team league guy, more of a deeper 14 to 16-team league situation. Of course, remember that Dwayne Wade was out of this game as well. Kemba Walker, point guards against the Nets, 24, 5, and 6 with 2 steals. Dwight Howard, centers against the Nets, 32 points and 30 rebounds. Now, Dwight went to the line 21 times and hit 12 of them, so that's obviously massive there. But if you own Dwight Howard, you're losing free throws. You're well aware of that, so that you should not give two shits about that. The negative here from Dwight is he picked up his 16th technical foul, meaning he will be suspended for Thursday unless overnight or tomorrow morning the NBA decides to rescind today's tech. So he could be out. So you're looking at maybe streaming a guy like Bill Hernan Gomez, especially if Cody Zeller remains out, who's dealing with that knee issue. You're going to get more minutes from Frank the Tank Kaminsky and from Bill Hernan Gomez with Dwight and Cody Zeller potentially out. Jezza Lamb had 17 and 7. He's a guy to own in 12-team leagues at this point. While Malik Monk, 5 assists. He's a decent assists streamer and a 14 to 16-team league player as he has that backup point guard role locked down. On to the Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie, 24 minutes. This comes after 26 in the last game. He had 13, 2, and 2. I'm not saying he's a drop at this point, but I think you have to consider it. D'Angelo Russell starting over him. Alan Crabb is back, and those 2 games with Crabb back, Dinwiddie has been limited in his playing time, and it's not looking great for him at this point. Caris LeVert actually played more minutes than Dinwiddie here, having 14, 5, and 4. Damari Carroll struggled, but he's still a borderline 12-teamer, while Rondé had 13, 5, and 3 with 3 steals and a block, really filling up those categories for you. And D'Angelo had 19, 4, and 5, strong numbers from Russell as well, who's quietly putting up a pretty strong second half of the season. Jarrett Allen played 26 minutes. That's a positive. Dante Cunningham was back, but he did not see the court at all. 4 blocks for Allen with 9 rebounds. I don't have full trust in him getting high 20s in minutes, but this was a good sign. But I could also see Cunningham coming in and playing 25 minutes next game and pushing Allen down to low 20s in minutes. It's been a criticism of mine for Atkinson just not giving Allen the proper playing time. We'll see what happens from here on out. But he's a name to watch, especially if you need some blocks. the Clippers and the Bucks. Clippers made a change to their starting lineups, and Darius Thornwell went to the bench and Wes Johnson started. But with the G League season almost over, you're going to have Ty Wallace and CJ Williams likely back in the next game or two. And I imagine that Wallace will slide into the starting lineup for a game or two. And then we will get the Rooster Danilo Gallinari, who's slated to return at the beginning of next week. Lou Williams had 19 and 8. Austin Rivers, who needs to be owned, had 22, 3 and 4 with two steals. And DeAndre Jordan had a 25 and 22 game, which pales in comparison to Dwight's game, but it's still monstrous, and he was still piss poor from the free throw line. Miloš Teodosic had 15 points. He hit 4 triples and 4 assists, so there is some level of value there in Miloš, but he is not a must-own sort of a guy. On to the Bucks. Yanni sprained his ankle. He lasted 17 minutes. He had 12, 2 and 2 with a steal and 3 blocks. So he was on track for a really big night, but we have not heard any update on that ankle. With him out, Jabari Parker started the second half and played 30 minutes. And this is something I'd posited a while ago, is that Parker's limited minutes, I wasn't sure that they were health or injury related. They just were. They didn't feel like playing him more minutes. They didn't need him and they didn't think he deserved it. And getting 30 minutes in an injury situation sort of proves that. He was good though. 20 and 6, 2 steals and a block. And if Yanni's going to miss time, then you have to own Jabari. But if everyone's going to be healthy, then Parker's probably going to be stuck in the mid-20s in minutes. Middleton had 23, 4 and 6 with 4 steals, while Bledsoe had 19, 3 and 8. And shout out to Brandon Jennings, who had 3 points in 6 minutes. They also made a change to the starting lineup. The Bucks, Tone Snell was demoted so Jason Terry could start. Tone Snell's not going to be in the rotation when Brogdon and Dellavedova comes back. He is bad. He continues to be bad, while Terry had 6 points in those 29 minutes. The Denver Nuggets and the Chicago Bulls, Paul Millsap, 22 points, led the team in scoring. 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals and a block. Came on really good shooting, of course, 8 of 9 from the field, which is not something to rely upon, but the other numbers are pretty solid. This was a game that the Nuggets had in hand really early, so no one got to 30 minutes. Babinek Wilson-Chandler continuing to put up strong numbers. I didn't think it would be able to continue, but 29 minutes here, he had 19 points with 5 triples, 5 rebounds, 3 assists and a block, and did it on 67% shooting. He is, over the last month, a top 75 player in 34 minutes, and as long as Gaz Harris is out, he's going to be getting, you know, mid-30s in minutes. When Gaz returns, he probably goes back to low 30s in minutes. He's producing at a pretty nice level, but his recent value is fueled by 53% shooting from the field, which is not a number that you should be expecting. He's also hitting 55% of his threes over the last 6 games, really elevating his production. Never going to be a high defense sort of player and never going to be this high scorer, but his recent production makes you want to look at him, and I think you do have to at least own him until Gaz returns, and then you can reassess. Farton Will Barton had 16, 3, and 5, and Devin Harris stepped up in his additional minutes, had 14, 3, and 5, but very little to judge on this game considering how much of a blowout it actually was. On to the Bulls side of things, Zach LaVine is going to be reassessed in 5 to 7 days, with the chance being, I think it's a pretty high chance, that he doesn't play again this season. He is a drop. Lauri Markkanen's also out for the next 2 games as well, while Chrissy Dunn missed this one also. Campaign started. He only played 23 minutes, but had 11, 1, and 6 with 2 steals, a block, and 3 triples. He is a stat stuffer. He is a fantasy beast. If he can get the minutes, which, you know, on a good team, he's not good enough to do. But for now, you have to own him. Well, Noah Vonleh is putting up the numbers. And as long as Markkanen is out, Vonleh's got value. 14 and 8, 4 triples, a steal, and 2 blocks. Now, the 4 threes is a fluke from Vonleh, but he's a solid rebounder. He's getting some minutes, and he can block some shots. So he has some sneaky value, as does Chris Felizio, who had his 3rd consecutive good game, 16 and 5, and Robin Lopez appears to be out of the rotation again. When that changes, or if that changes, then Felizio's value drops. Punch Bob had 15 and 8 in his 26 minutes, while the Hammer Denzel Valentine had 10, 2 and 3. The 5 steals are nice, but those mid to low 20s minutes make him a tough 12-team league must-own sort of player. And he's not a must-own, is what I meant to say there. Indiana and New Orleans, Oladipo was strong. Daz Collison had 11, 3, and 6, while Miles Turner grabbed 10 rebounds, a rarity. He had 13 and 10 with a steal and 2 blocks. Shot horribly, but still pretty nice production that could have been a real monster from him, while Thaddeus Young did what he does, and that's get 3 steals. As long as Sabonis is out, Young is a guy to hold, but I think when DeMontis returns, you might be looking at Young purely as a steals specialist. Bojan Bogdanovic, it's done with him. Drop him. 9 points in 34 minutes. On to the Pelicans. Etuan Moore was red hot. 10 of 15 shooting for 23 points with 3 triples and 2 steals. That's nice, but of course it's not replicable. He is a really good shooter. He's a 50% shooter. He's not a 67% shooter. And he does very little outside of the scoring column. My boy Cheick Diallo is firing up. 20 minutes for him, 9 and 10 with a block. That's 2 games in a row that he's playing more than Emeka Okafor, who has failed to get to 10 minutes in these last 2 games. Now, some of it could be that Okafor's old, and this is a back-to-back-to-back, so they're limiting his minutes deliberately. But Diallo has been fantastic. So if you're in need of some big man numbers in a moderate-sized league, 16 team, maybe go 14. Shit, maybe go 12 if you really need someone for Thursday. Diallo's looking really intriguing. Drew Holiday sucked. It looked like he was struggling with the illness. He had 10, 4, and 5, while Rondo had 2, 6, and 6, one of his subpar games. Let's go to the last game of the night, the Washington Wizards and the San Antonio Spurs. Kelly Oubre was really good in this one, 21 and 6. He had 3 triples, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, but his minutes had been way down previous to this. He got the extra run here with Jody Meeks and Mike Scott both out, so he was really running that bench unit. He's more of a streamer than anything else. Otto Porter had 12, 7, and 4, and 2 steals, and Beal had 21 with very little else. It was a bad night for Markieff Morris and Tomas Satoransky. Satoransky missed all 8 of his shots, still had 6 rebounds and 6 assists, and he's still worth holding, while Markieff Morris, 5 and 3. I think Morris is a 12-team guy, but if you need to open up a spot for streaming, Morris could be considered one of those guys that you move on from. Marcin Gortat sucked again. LaMarcus Aldridge was great for San Antonio, 27-9, while Kyle Anderson, 16-4-4, was pretty solid, as was DeJounte Murray, who actually hit a 3 and had 10 rebounds. But they are borderline 12-team league guys, and I think at this point of the year, your bottom 3 guys should be considered expendable to get the right mix of players in. So those guys, I imagine, in 12-team league formats are going to be falling into that category. Pau Gasol remained on the bench and played only 16 minutes. The Spurs are killing it with their small ball formula. It doesn't appear like we're going to get Kawhi back anytime soon, so Gasol's really just a deeper league player at this stage, and it doesn't look like that's going to be changing anytime soon. All right, let's go player spotlight now. We're going to be talking about Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons. Drummond is a guy that, of course, has surprised us this season. He was the 73rd ranked player last year, 89th the year before, and 88th the year before that. He's 18th this season. And while some of that is to do with his free throw percentage increase, he's gone from 39% to 61%, he's still a negative 2.5 in terms of Z score in free throw percentage, which is not an easy number to recover from. It is recoverable from, much more so than the negative 4.7 that he was last year. But it's one of those ones where you still go on the volume of attempts that he's taking, you still go, well, you know what? I'm probably not going to win this category most weeks. And what has improved for him this year is his shot blocking up from 1.1 to 1.7, his assists up from 1.1 to 3.1, he's getting an extra 2 rebounds per game, and he's scoring over a point extra per game on lower usage. So his efficiency is clearly up, and all these things have catapulted him up 50 spots in the fantasy rankings. But what about since Blake Griffin's arrived? It is a real change in what's happened. Prior to Griffin arriving, he was the 17th ranked player and averaged 14.8, 15.3 with 3.9 assists on 55% shooting. Since Griffin's arrived, his assists have gone from 3.9 to 1.4, almost the same numbers as last season. He's grabbing more rebounds at 16.7. The scoring's about the same, but his efficiency has dropped as he's, not finding himself in the ideal position, as Griffin is not as much of a floor spacer as what Toby Harris was. So it has been a dip. Now, overall, his ranking hasn't dropped too far. He was 17th before Griffin. He's 25th after Griffin. And the other thing that's increased is his block rate has jumped up more. I don't really know the 100% the reason why his block rate has gone up as much as it has. That could be just a little bit of noise, but it has. Maybe he's, because he's not expending as much offensively, he's concentrating more defensively, and we know that Griffin's not going to be any sort of threat to block shots. But it's not like Toby Harris was anyway, so very little changes in that sort of area, but it has been something that's kept those numbers afloat. Otherwise, he'd probably be outside the top 40 if those block numbers hadn't jumped 0.5 or 0.6 blocks per game. You would have seen him start to tumble. So those assists, while they were really sexy to start the year, they're gone now. And with Griffin around for the next 4 years, I think that's something we have to pay attention to. And we have to look at whatever Drummond's season-long total is in assists for this year. We have to expect it not to reach that number again next year. He has been excellent, though, obviously, as a top 20 season. It's been fantastic. His defensive box score plus-minus is through the roof at 5.5 this year, easily a career high, almost double his next best season. He's having career highs in PER, in box score plus-minus, in win share numbers. But interestingly, the team is 3 points better off when he sits on the bench. So that is something to watch. Last year, they were 12 points better off. This year, it's 3 points. That is something that's interesting to watch. But we've seen him increase his efficiency this season, which is good considering all those ridiculous post-ups that he was putting up last season. That's still happening to a degree, but not as much. Drummond is still only 24 years of age, so he's still not in his prime. So, yeah, the athleticism wanes that we expect. They're probably not coming for 2 to 3 years, and that will impact his rebounding. But hopefully they just go back to using him properly on offense and letting him do his thing at a high efficiency rate. And hopefully we can get some of those assists back. Although, as I said, I'm not feeling like it's going to be all that likely with the way that Griffin is running things in Detroit there. But Drummond has been a huge surprise. He's going to be relatively consistent and should be a consistent top 30, top 35 guy, maybe top 40 guy from here on out. But I get the feeling that this top 20 season we're seeing from him, which in large part is fueled by this almost tripling of his assist numbers, won't be able to continue. So bear that in mind if you're valuing Drummond in a dynasty point of view, that there has been such a significant drop off in those assist numbers, and when they do come back down, his ranking does start to come back down as well. All right, let's talk some DFS now. We go to the perfect lineup for Wednesday. Freddie VanVleet, 33.7, and Georgie Hill, 32.6. They're your point guards. At shooting guard, Chrissy Middleton, 46.8, and Devin Harris, 28.1. Good luck for having Devin Harris in the lineup. LeBron had 71.9, while Oubre had 42.7, while Kelly Olynyk had 46, and Paulie Millsap had 51, while Dwight Howard went for 63.5 for a total of 416.4, and that cost $59,100. On DraftKings, Wayne Selden had 28, Kelly Oubre had 38, LeBron had 73.25, and Deontay Davis, again, good luck having that in, 34.25, Enes Kanter 49.25, Austin Rivers 40.25, Kevin Love 49, and Dwight Howard 69.5 for a total of 381.5, and that cost $50,000 dues. We have got a six game slate coming up now for this week ahead. I'm trying to find my logo for the oops, and looks like it's disappeared. So that's awesome. We're not going to have the logos up on the screen because my video for you guys watching on the video, my video thing has disappeared. Unless this is it. Nope, that's definitely not it. Let's see if I can try and find this on the fly. Sorry about if you got... there we go. We're back in business. Let's hope it all lines up. There we go. Look at that. Perfect. All right. The first game we're going to take a look at is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Charlotte Hornets. Both of these teams playing a back-to-back. Dwight Howard and Nick Batum. We don't have an official word on Batum, but I don't think he's going to play. Dwight is going to be suspended for his 16th tech. Chandler Parsons is unlikely to play on a back-to-back. Marc Gasol has already been ruled out, while Tyreke Evans will return to action. We also need to check the status of Cody Zeller. That's a big one there for Charlotte. And Ivan Rabb in Memphis, who also could be a valuable option with Gasol out of this game. At point guard, Kemba's at 8,600. Another big bunch of performances, huge against the Nets today with 52 points for Kemba. But that sort of salary, I feel like it's too much coming on a back-to-back, while Andy Harrison at 6,000 is a strong fade with Tyreke back in action. At shooting guard, Tyreke is at 8,000. I guess there is a risk that that we don't get the full minute load out of Tyreke in tanking season, but I still think that he can easily go for 45, and that makes him an interesting GPP guy, but I wouldn't want to do that for cash. While Wayne Selden had a big game today, but really untrustworthy in any sort of cash scenario, especially with Evans returning. Jez Lamb's at 66. I feel okay about that. I don't mind it for cash. It's pretty high, but I think he can get you at least 30, probably push to 35 in a really positive matchup for him. While Dylan Brooks at 4,800, he does nothing else apart from score, and he doesn't score 25. So that's really tough to consider him a guy to look at. At power forward, Frank the Tank's at 4,200. His upside is really through the roof here with Dwight and potentially Cody Zeller out, so I love him. Probably for cash, but definitely for tournaments, while Bill Hernan Gomez at 4,000 could really smash through, especially if Cody is out. So both of those guys are really, really strong value. I would lean Bill a little bit here, just because he does have the ability to rebound and score at a higher rate than what Kaminsky does. But they are both going to be really strong options. Deontay Davis is at 38. He dropped 32 today, even with Gasol playing, and now Mark is out tomorrow. It's a positive matchup for Deontay. So at 3,800, he absolutely gets a look here. And you could even use him in cash, but I think he's a sensational GPP guy. While Zeller at 36, I just think if he does play coming off the knee soreness, he's just not going to get enough minutes to be a reliable option. Let's go across to DraftKings. I like Kemba a lot more over there. He's at 8,200, a decent matchup for him. He's been fairly strong. I just didn't like the price as much on FanDuel. Jez Lamb at 57 is super strong. Bill Hernan Gomez at 34 is also in a great spot, as is Frank the Tank Kaminsky at 4,100. Real lot of value for those guys. On the Memphis side of things, we're looking at Ivan Rabb at 3,400 if he happens to play, and Deontay Davis at 33, who is a sensationally strong option in this matchup, given the absence of Marc Gasol. All right, let's look at the next one. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers and the Orlando Magic. John Isaac is doubtful, as is John Simmons, so they're both likely not to be playing. Joel Embiid will play. He says he's not going to rest any games here down the stretch, so that's obviously good news. Now, with Fournier out, with Simmons out, with Isaac out, then we're looking at plenty of different options here. One of those is Shelvin Mack, who's at 3,900 and is averaging 23 over the last five and 26 over the last three, so he can easily get you that value at 3,900. There's a ton of value opening up on FanDuel today, Thursday, whatever day you're listening. DJ Augustine at 5,500 is also a fairly strong cash option with tournament upside. So I like both of these point guards here for the Magic. Timothy John McConnell's at minimum salary. He averages 38 points against the Magic, which is an extraordinarily high amount. The matchups are real positive, blowout potential. I would consider him a tournament option. At shooting guard, JJ Redick's at 4,700. I don't really like it for cash. I'm not sure the upside's high enough with the other options around here, like Marco Bellinelli, who's at 39. I don't think either of those guys are strong plays. Mario Hezonja at 45. He should be the biggest beneficiary of the Simmons and Isaac injuries. At 4,500, he should be able to get to 27 or 28 at minimum, and that's going to be really good value there. Bob Cove's at 6,000. Tournament only for Covington. Really can't rely upon him in cash. While Weza Wundu at 3,600. There's an opportunity there for minutes with Isaac, Simmons, Fournier all out, but he has not been a high producer for the majority of this season. At power forward, Ilyasova at 3,800. Very unlikely to consider that. While As Gordon, 7,500 for Azar. I think that's definitely worth a look. I reckon you could even consider it in cash. I'd lean more for tournaments there with him, while Šarić is down at 5,900, and I think that is a solid price to go back onto the Šarić wagon here just because of that salary dropping as far as it has. Benny Simmons at 10,400, that's too high. I know it's a really good matchup for him, but there's real blowout potential here, and at 10,400, I think that's too high for Simmons. Could be wrong, but I just think it's too high. Embiid at 11,000 is probably also too high. Yes, he's got a great matchup, and if he was at 10,000, I'd be all about it. But at 11,000, I just think there are better ways to spend that money. Well, Nick Vucevic is at 8,800, and he's been putting up close to 40 points over the last three games and does that against the Sixers as well. But that's not quite enough at 8,800. So if I'm using him, it's only going to be as a tournament guy. But he does have the potential to go for 50. On DraftKings, Simmons at 91 is in a much better spot. Hezonja we love at 47, Augustin at 5,000, and As Gordon at 73. Awesome value there, while Shelvin Mack at 42 is also in a fairly strong spot. Šarić not quite as good, while Embiid at 9,900. Yeah, that's a really good option to use Joel there also. Let's go on to the next game. It's the Lakers, it's the Pelicans. It's the Pelicans' third game in three nights. Brook Lopez is listed as probable, while Brandon Ingram is out for the Lakers, meaning we're going to get way more of the future MVP there at small forward. The point guards, Isaiah Thomas is at 5,600. He has been piss poor lately, but that price is super appealing, and I'd be happy to use him at that sort of a salary. Well, Rajon Rondo's at 63, and I don't think you can use Rondo in anything outside of a tournament, given his inconsistency. Lonzo down to 7,100 is also, I think, a pretty good tournament guy with clear 50-point upside. At shooting guard, KCP down at 5,500. A lot of these Lakers guys' prices have dipped, and I like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 55, especially with Ingram being ruled out, while Drew Holiday at 9,000 continues to be too high. For the small forwards, we're looking at Etuan Moore. He probably had his game today. He's at 4,500, and I wouldn't be super interested in using him. There's just very little upside, I believe. Solly Hill sat out today. He's not going to trouble the scorers too much. And Darius Miller at minimum salary for a reason. I love Julius Randle here, 7,500. You should be locking in 37 or 38 for him, probably even 40. I think that's a strong cash play. Well, as is the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma. At 6,200, you're going to get 32 out of him almost definitely here. Tone Davis at 12,500, that's pretty expensive on the third game of a back-to-back. I would throw it into a tournament, but I wouldn't want to use him for cash. While Mirotić at 55, he could be a beneficiary if they do get up big in this one and limit Davis, but I wouldn't be getting overly excited about him. Cech Diallo is the guy I would be, though. 3,900 for Cech. I actually think you can use that in cash. I'd love it in tournament, but the way that he's playing, it is a cash option at this point. At center, we're not caring too much about Emeka Okafor, but Brooke Lopez at 6,800. The minutes are well up for him. He's averaging 33 minutes over his last five games and 37 points, which is enough at that salary. The Davis matchup could be a bit of a concern, and I don't feel super confident about using Lopez on this slate of games. On DraftKings, Kuzma at 63, I like that. Isaiah at 57 is a really good tournament player, and Davis at 11.7. Just the element of risk is there, which would make him more of a tournament guy. I think Randall's probably a little bit too highly priced there at 8,000. Drew at 78 is on board, but he is still struggling with the illness, so probably want to fade him in that spot, while KCP is too highly priced, and Cech Diallo at 38, still looking pretty strong. Let us go now onto the next game. We're talking Pistons and Rockets. Chris Paul is questionable with his hamstring. If he is out, obviously that boosts Jim Harden a lot, and it boosts Eric Gordon and a lot of the other guys. Maybe Trevor Ariza gets a bit of a bump there as well. For the point guards, of course, Paul is one of them. He is at 8,500. He's averaging over 42 in his last three contests, but with a questionable hamstring, I don't think we can really consider him an option to use. Reggie Jackson is back, so that's going to impact Ish Smith, who's at 5,300. Don't think you can use Ish. Minimum salary for Reggie Jackson? Maybe. It all depends on the minutes limit. I probably would end up fading him, but it could be a tournament one if they give him 20 minutes and he comes out and drops 17 points in limited minutes. But I don't think that that's a great, great spot. Jim Harden at 11.8 is, or Eric Gordon at 47. I think that's a cash play if Chris Paul is out. Otherwise, it's just a tournament one. While Luki Kennard continues to play well. He had 34 points last game. Yes, the opponent was inferior, but at 4,400 for Kennard, there is some tournament upside because his minutes have been pushing up, which has been a good sign. Trevor Ariza at 48. I wouldn't be interested in that unless Chris Paul is out. While PJ Tucker, Reggie Bullock, Stan Johnson, Jim Ennis, Joe Johnson, and Gerald Green. Probably not any of them, with the exception of Green. If Paul is out, I think Gerald Green at 3,600 is an excellent tournament play in that spot. At power forward, you've got Tony Tolliver. Probably not. Blake Griffin at 9,100. Griffin is cranking out the numbers, but they're coming against the Kings and the Suns in the last two games. The Rockets is a little bit of a different story. So I think at a $9,000 price tag, I would fade Blake here. And Marmute is not really doing too much. Clint Capella is at 7,400. Capella's been okay, but I don't think he's been at that level, so I'm not feeling super strong there. While Drummond at 9,900, not really getting anywhere near that at the moment, so if you want to use him, it's got to be tournaments. I don't think that you can use him in cash, and I don't really consider him a strong option. On DraftKings, Drummond's way more in play there. 8,700, I like that. He can easily do that number. That's a much better price tag. While Harden at 11.6 is also in a good spot. Griffin's also a little bit more friendlier price, but I'd probably fade. While Capella at 68, he comes into play pretty comfortably. Eric Gordon at 6,100. Even if Chris pulls out, that I might struggle to use that in cash, even if Chrissy is out, given how large that price increase is. While Reggie Jackson at 45, I just don't think you can use that even in a tournament setting. Let's go now on to the next game. It's the Jazz. It's the Mavs. The Jazz are favored by 8. The total is 199. Derek Favors is back. Dennis Smith is out. JJ Barea is listed as probable, while Kyle Collinsworth and Salah Mejri are questionable for the Mavericks. At point guard, with no Smith, 5,600 for Barea. It's a tough matchup for him, although Dennis Schroeder just dropped 41 on the Jazz and Ricky Rubio. I think at 5,600, Barea is a tournament guy, but I wouldn't be getting super excited. Whereas on the other side, I really like Rubio here. He's at 7,400 and he's averaging 38 points over the last five. I think it's a positive matchup for him and he's very interesting to use. While Yogi Ferrell at 51 is only for tournaments and even then, I don't like it. Shooting guard, Don Mitchell, 8,100. Not really getting to that level recently. This is a positive in terms of defense, but I think you can do better than spending 81 on the Don. While Kyle Collinsworth at 3,600, I just don't really see it from him. Dougie McDirt's at 3,600, just one of the worst fantasy players out there. While the pencil, Harrison Barnes, at 5,700. Yeah, it's a negative matchup, but I'll use Harrison Barnes at 5,700. Finney Smith, probably not. Well, Jingle and Joe, love what he's doing, but at 6,600, I think that price takes him out of action. He's been giving you almost 33 points a game over the last five, which is not far off where you need to be. I'm just not totally feeling it. Dirk at 5,100 has been giving you about 25 a night, which is sort of where it needs to be. So if you want someone in cash, I think you can consider Dirk, but he wouldn't be number one on my list. Well, Jay Crowder at 51. Favors back, takes away a bit of the upside, and his numbers haven't quite been where they need to be, especially at that sort of a price. While Favors at 56, I don't think we're interested. Dwighty Powell at 5,100, again, there's just too much variance in his minutes for me to really consider that too strongly. 5,100 also for Nerlens Noel. I think you have to consider that a tournament guy. He's giving you 28.5 over the last five anyway, in large part due to his defensive strength. And with 3 points per steal and block on FanDuel, he gives you a 3-3 there, and you're almost at value straight away. So 5,100 for Noel is a great tournament guy. While Gobert is at 9,500. Rudy at that sort of a salary, I don't really like it as a lock-in cash play or even really a tournament upside guy. I think there are better ways of spending your cash at the center position. On DraftKings, Gobert at 83, way more optionality there for him. While Rubio at 71, I like. While the Don at 75, JJ Barea at 55 are really strong tournament plays. I like Nerlens a ton as well on DraftKings at 5,100. That is a very, very nice price. Barnes and Nowitzki are less favorable on DraftKings than what they are on FanDuel. All right, let's go now to the last game of the day. We're talking Atlanta Hawks and the Sacramento Kings. The Kings are favored by 2.5, and the total is 212.5. This is going to be a tank off. Bogdan Bogdanovic is probable, while Zach Randolph is questionable, and Garrett Temple is out. We know for Atlanta that the Baptist is out, Malcolm Delaney is out, and DeAndre Bembry is out, but we could be seeing shenanigans all over this game, especially from Atlanta if they start sitting Dwayne Dedman or Dennis Schroeder or the artist formerly known as Torian Prince. So using a lot of these guys can be fraught with danger. As for Schroeder, he's up to 7,300, and the matchup's fantastic. He's coming off 56 against the Jazz, which is awesome, but does Budenholzer pull the old, we're going to sit you for the final quarter because you're playing too well? That's a risk, but it's a nice tournament play to look at. Well, De'Aaron Fox at 5,700, he just doesn't do it for me. But if you're going to use him, this is the matchup to do it. It's a real positive one, super positive, and he can easily have 30, so it's a tournament look for me. Isaiah Taylor at 36, he's been okay, a little bit down in his last couple, but not too bad at 36, but really limited upside there. At shooting guard, Damian Lee might get another start. He's at 3,700. Disappointed in that last start, 14 points, but he can get you 40, he can get you 20, and I'm confident he can get you 20, so that would make him a tournament sort of a player. While Bogdan is down at 4,800, that would make him a tournament guy. I think that's a nice price dip. His production hasn't been there, but we've seen him have big games before. Budrick Hield's at 7,000 now, and I know that he's been crushing it, but at 7,000, I don't think I'm ready to go in on Hield there. Well, Justin Jackson is always just a tournament guy. The artist formerly known as Torian Prince at 7,500, he's done very well against Sacramento in the past. That is an expensive salary for Prince, so I don't think that we should be considering him a cash lock under any means. Yeah, coming down to 6'5", I would, but at 75, nah, not happening. Power forwards, we've got Scalabissier at 53. If Randolph is out, I think that's fairly good to use there, but we don't know that at this point. Well, Randolph at 48, I don't want anything to do with. And at centre, Mike Muscala, who will be the starting power forward for the Hawks, He's at 4,500. I think that's fine for cash, and I think it's fine for tournaments. While Cauley Stein at 6,900, a really positive matchup for Cauley Stein. And I think, especially if Randolph is out, this is an opportunity to use Will. I wouldn't be that interested in Costa Kufos. And The Undertaker at 58, he's got a real positive matchup too, and he's coming off 46 points last game. I don't have enough confidence to trust him in cash, but I can consider him a GPP sort of a guy. All right, let's go and talk about the other sides now before we wrap it up for the day. On Yahoo for tournaments, Cauley Stein, The Undertaker, Mario Hezonja, Jarrell Martin, Deontay Davis, Stan Johnson. They're your tournament type options. For cash, we're looking at Nerlens, Shelvin Mack, Mike Muscala, DJ Augustin, Budrick Hield, Julius Randle, Kemba Walker, Andre Drummond, and Jimmy Harden. On Moneyball for tournaments, it's Dennis Schroeder. We're looking at Damian Lee, Trevor Ariza, Nerlens Noel, Eric Gordon, Deontay Davis. And for cash, we've got Shelvin Mack, Muscala, Rondo, Hezonja, Augustin, The Undertaker, Julius Randle, Jim Harden, and Tone Davis. And on Draft Stars, Tone Davis, Brookie Lopez, Caldwell Pope, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Scal Labissiere, Nerlens Noel, Justin Jackson, Anthony Tolliver, Isaiah Taylor. And for cash, you've got Diallo, Deontay Davis, Shelvin Mack, Mike Muscala, Hezonja, Dedmon, Augustin Hield, Cauley Stein, Prince Capella, Schroeder, Lamb, Randle, Drummond, Embiid. Also, for those three sites, Hernan Gomez and Kaminsky are in play as well. So make sure you are using them with those situation in Charlotte. If you are listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, go leave a 5-star rating and a review. And remember, you can find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube, where you can go leave a thumbs up and a comment. And of course, click that subscribe button. Check out Locked On NBA today with Adam Silver along with David Locke. That's a must listen. You can check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network at either lockedonsports.com or on Twitter at LockedOnNBANet, on Facebook the same. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Caleb Swanigan.